Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, welcome to Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Chris Stainis. I'm just back from vacation, had 2.5 weeks driving down the Oregon coast into Black Rock City, Nevada, where we played in the desert at Burning Man. Now, that's an amazing event where you get totally off the grid. There's no TV, no internet, no email, no phones. You are just, of course, you're with 50,000 plus people and the sun and the wind and the dust. There's amazing art and evening burns, of course, the burning of the man, the big wooden man. It's 40 feet tall. But my favorite is the temple. A very sacred space is created in a wood-carved temple where people write messages to their loved ones who've departed. And on the last night, it's burned, and it's a very moving time. So you may have heard of Burning Man. It's just a big party. But what it is to me is connecting with people from all different places. And this year, we met several people from Great Britain and New Zealand, in addition to people from all over the U.S. and Canada. So now I'm back integrating to what they call at Burning Man the default world. One aspect of Burning Man is experiencing adults at play, very creative play, spending a week creating and playing with art, sharing and gifting with others, and creating self-expression through colorful costumes. And then how do we bring that sense of wonder and play back to our regular world where we get back to being busy with jobs, family, home, etc.? And perhaps today our guest will answer some of these have answers for us. My guest is Ruth Miller, who will share how to play the game of life. Ruth Miller integrates scientific, spiritual, and cultural understanding to clarify metaphysical principles and practices in a way that the rest of us can understand them. She has degrees in anthropology, cybernetics, environmental studies, and the systems sciences, as she was a college professor and a futurist. Before, she was ordained as a New Thought minister, teaching and serving in Unity, Science of Mind, and Unitarian churches in the Pacific Northwest. Currently, she is the director of the Portal, Center for Studies of Science, Psyche, and Spirit. She edited the Florence Scovel Shinn's book, which is The New Game of Life and How to Play, which is the revised new edition, and that has lifted thousands of people out of their self-doubt and confusion during difficult times. Her website is www.libraryofhiddenknowledge.com, and you can also find her at RevRuthLMiller.com. So welcome, Ruth, to Voices of Women.
Hi there. So glad to be here. It's a treat.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And I was looking at your photo. It seems like I might have seen you at some conferences or something or other. You look familiar. But I want to start off with I always like to know how people got into the work they did. So what was your defining moment in your life when you discovered your purpose in life?
Oh, that's beautiful. I was 7 years old, and I understood two principles. I had been attending a Unitarian Sunday school and living with my mother, who was non-churched, and visiting my grandmother, who was an active Methodist former missionary to India. And I got at seven the concept that these things and greater shall you do, and that helping humanity was a huge part of why we're here. So I made up a decision then and there, made the decision to learn how it was that we were going to do these things and greater, as Jesus said in the Bible, and figure out how to do that to help.
Well, that's amazing to discover that at 7 years old. I think a lot of us are probably envious because we've spent decades trying to figure that out and what we're going to do. But I want to know, what shifted for you to go from a college professor to a New Thought minister? Because that's a shift in perspective even.
It is and it isn't, because for me the whole thing was about consciousness and enhancing our capacities as human beings. And I didn't have any models of women in the ministry, had a lot of models of women in academia. I'm fifth generation college professor in my family. And so that was the direction that I went, and cybernetics and systems thinking. Well, anthropology introduced me to a variety of different approaches, and then in cybernetics and systems thinking, I developed and understood theoretical and experimental work that supported that our consciousness was far more than what we are normally aware of. And I continued to work in that field, and I applied it as a futurist and as a planner, community and program planner for nonprofits. And then had a physical breakdown, which was when I discovered Shin's work, among others, and pulled myself out of that, got back into the saddle, as it were, with my two small children and various college kinds of work. And then one day began to have a breakdown again, and realized that part of it was because I'd reached the point where I couldn't talk about consciousness without also talking about spirit. And I couldn't do that in the business or academic world, so I had to shift. And New Thought is an amazing body of spiritual principles that totally, completely conforms to systems thinking and cybernetics. And so it made no problem at all for me to make that shift. And then work in the ministry, which I've just completed 20 years in the ministry. And now I'm in the process of putting them together, because now we can say spirit outside of church.
Well, that's true. And that's a nice evolution that we've made finally. And I think probably because spirit has a different connotation than religion, and people could understand spirit. And so, yeah, I think it's coming. Spirit is coming out of the closet. Well, you mentioned New Thought Movement, and I know because I had years and years ago, for years I went to Unity Church, and there's kind of a negative press around that thought, like New Age, you know, that quote-unquote New Age. But what is your take on where the New Thought Movement is now and how it's contributing and evolving the humankind in our planet?
Oh, my. That's a big question.
I know.
Wonderful question. So for those who don't know, New Thought is a purely American movement. It exists all over the world, but it came out of the ideas of Ralph Waldo Emerson and the methods of a Maine physician, Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, back in the 1850s. The merger of those two sets of ideas showed up in Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science and in Warren Felt Evans' work, which he called New Thought. And then people emerged out of that, and particularly one teacher, Emma Curtis Hopkins, in Chicago, having studied a little bit with Mary Baker Eddy and having studied Emerson and all of the great mystical philosophers down through the ages, created a seminary, and she trained about 11,000 people and ordained 110, including the founders of Unity, Religious Science, Divine Science, Sanctuaries and Homes of Truth, and a number of other groups. And what she was doing was saying there is a core teaching that is present in all the ages. And she said that this core teaching is what we all need to be focusing on. And the concept of new thought is we give up our old thoughts that no longer work and replace them with a new thought that supports us in our development. So she taught people to be healers and teachers and to heal themselves initially. Virtually all of her people came to her because the medical world couldn't help them anymore. And they would get over whatever they were dealing with, and then she'd say, go out and teach, because that's the best way to remain strong. Today, we have many different, embodiments of those teachings, and all of them are only partial. I haven't found any movement that does not include or that includes all of what Emma had to offer, which is part of why I teach Emma material, and we'll be doing that in the Library of Hidden Knowledge next year. But if you go to Unity, you get the focus on something called Christ consciousness as accessible to all of us. If you go to the Science of Mind Churches, the Central for Spiritual Living, or the what used to be called Religious Science, you get the focus on the one mind. Emerson, in his history essay, said, there is one mind common to all humanity, and everyone is the inlet and the outlet of the same. Isn't that marvelous? So Ernest Holmes built on that concept and said, if we can get into the space of that one mind, which in Unity is called the Christ consciousness, then we can be freed of the thoughts that are no longer working for us and begin to claim and live by and experience the results of a new kind of thinking. The whole New Age thing emerged alongside and has been alongside since probably the 1820s. And the word New Age has been with us, you know, forever. The phrase New Age goes back to the first millennium. But the concepts that go with most New Age are the occult concepts having to do with crystals and shamanism and all that good stuff, all of which are relevant and useful in certain ways, but they are not fundamentally a part of new thought.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is these preconceptions of what they think it is, and again it gets that negative press because it's thought of very woo woo, and it's interesting, all these different religions have took on different aspects, like what they related to, that's what they expanded on, and you're going back to the original of that encompassed it all. Well, you're listening to Voices of Woman. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Ruth Miller, and we will come back shortly.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck! Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking today with Ruth Miller, and she edited the book, The New Game of Life, let's see, there's another subtitle to that book. Ruth, can you share what the book is?
Sure. Florence Scovel Shinn wrote a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It back in 1925, and she self-published it, and it's been in print ever since because it's a very powerful tool. And Beyond Words Atria, the people who published The Secret, have been asking me to explain some of those early writings from the late 1800s and early 1900s in modern terms, because we don't generally like long paragraphs and long sentences in the 21st century.
So no, we don't.
So I divided up into headed sections and, you know, clarify the text and simplify the text and create summary points and exercises for each of the chapters. And in this one, I actually got to explain some of the science that supports her principles. So The Game of Life and How to Play It was Shinn's classic, and then we took it and turned it into the new game of life for the 21st century.
So it was written there the late 1800s?
Well, she was doing this work between 1912 and 1925, and she published the book in 1925. But she herself was born in 1871, and lived that kind of language and that kind of style. Her examples are from the teens and 20s, and so we update things when we do these books for the 21st century.
Well, who was she? Was she part of that New Thought movement with Ernest Holmes and the other people you mentioned?
Well, sort of, kind of. She was actually an illustrator. She was part of the Greenwich Village scene in the Roaring Twenties. And then prior to that, she was part of what made Greenwich Village what it was. And her husband divorced her in 1912 when she was like 40. And she did what we all do when our husbands walk out on us in our middle of years. She kind of fell apart, and she began to look for support, both emotional and spiritual. And she found a teacher, Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was coming to New York and doing classes every now and then. And she connected with one of Emma's other students, a woman named Emily Cady, who Unity people will recognize, who wrote Lessons in Truth. So Florence Shinn began to study Unity principles and Emma's principles directly, and became a teacher and a healer in her own right. So she had been supporting herself as an illustrator in the Greenwich Village scene, and now began supporting herself as a practitioner, very much the way a religious science practitioner would be supporting themselves today. She had been teaching classes for a while, and her students started to say, "You need to write a book," as most of us have heard. "You need to write a book." And so she did, and in 1925 she self-published this. And her idea is that we've been taught that life is a battle, and she wants us to get over that idea. She wants us to understand that it's a game, that there are rules and that there are principles, and that it is possible to win this game. And to win this game means to have the full completion, and she called that health, perfect self-expression, prosperity, and loving relationships. When you got all four of those and you're grounded in spirit, all is well. So the game of life is designed to get us to the point where we have all four of those things.
Can you repeat the four again? It was health, perfect self-expression, and what were the last two?
Financial well-being or prosperity, and loving relationships.
Great. So those are...
is based on a spiritual experience.
Yes. And so are there are there some essential rules to this game that how we can succeed in these?
Yes. she actually makes a set of principles, and you know, we called those out separately in her past books. You had to kind of wade through to do it. But in our version, you actually can find a list of principles in the back. How nice is that? And a list of affirmations. What she was trying to help us understand was that we've been taught principles that don't necessarily work. We've been taught, for example, to be afraid of an unsafe world. And she's saying, no, don't go there. Don't go there. You know, fear is not going to serve you. Go through and experience what it is that you're here to experience. Don't try to limit yourselves in that way. So that would be one example of the experience, the principle that doesn't work. And then she began to say, so let's try principles that do work. A principle that does work is the principle of fulfillment, or the principle of love, or the principle of, you know, facing, you know, whatever it is that's in front of us. The principle of decree, the principle of gratitude and its power. So a lot of things that are familiar to us today were pretty much brand new at that time. For example, she says wealth is a matter of consciousness. We must enlarge our beliefs and associated expectations in order to receive in a larger way. Some of her affirmations for health: divine love floods my consciousness with health, and every cell in my body is filled with light. Infinite intelligence brings all the cells, organs, and tissues of my body into perfect harmony and function. Yeah. So she is encouraging us to do three things. One, recognize that our old thinking needs to be replaced with a new thought, and those new thoughts are principles that actually can work to experience a fuller, more wonderful, abundant life. And begin to choose those principles in each action and to affirm their truth whenever we start to think otherwise. We cancel the old thought and affirm the truth of the new thought in each moment and each day.
Well, it's kind of like reprogramming ourselves, you know, that our mind, we have a lot of, I think, many of us can say we have a lot of negative thoughts that run through our head, particularly towards ourselves. We can be most judgmental of ourselves more than other people. And it's bringing in, you know, replacing those negative thoughts with these principles that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, she says for every thought, word, or action, there is a consequence. There is something out there going on. So if I've been doing negative self-talk, then I'm going to start experiencing symptoms in the body, and I'm going to start experiencing the world around me reflecting that negative self-talk. So to get out of the habit of negative self-talk is the fundamental discipline, really. In fact, it's the only discipline. You know, we've all been taught we have to discipline ourselves to work or to eat properly or to exercise. Fundamentally, all of those things happen when we discipline our self-talk, when our inner process, our minds, our that dialogue, that ongoing dialogue is oriented around love and compassion and appreciation. All kinds of things shift. One of the things she says is love is the binding force of the universe and our lives, and no other power exists. We've all been taught to be concerned about other powers, the power of, oh, I don't know, the government, the power of evil, the power of other people over us. And she says, nope, nope, there is no other power. There's only love. And that's, you know, fundamental in all the New Thought movement. But for most of us, we're not even conscious of the ways we give our, quote, power away, right? That's a huge part of women's issues. We're constantly, quote, giving our power away. Well, the only power there is love. But it's not the love that we call romance. It's not the love of neediness. It's not the love that is just accepting what is. It's the love that is honoring and respecting and appreciating and claiming the highest truth.
Yes, and for women, like you mentioned, women, we're constantly giving it away, and we've been kind of conditioned since we're little to do that. The role models we've had in the past, and so I always say it's important for women to step up into our power, to be very visible, to not hold back from speaking our truth, so that others who are growing up, who are young ones now, see that women are powerful and they don't have to give it away, take care, which means to me, taking care of everybody else instead of yourself.
Right. We don't have to make everyone else first. However, one of the things that we get to look at in what she is saying, that phrase of speaking our truth, it gets twisted in our world sometimes. We sometimes will say, you know, I got to speak my truth here. This is not working for me because da-da-da-da-da. And what she would suggest is speaking the truth with a capital T is to say, I recognize this isn't working for me. I can see how my own thinking and actions have helped to contribute to this. I'm hereby changing my thinking and actions, and I am going to move into a higher level so that this situation will dissolve.
Oh, that's so great. I like hearing that because it's taking responsibility. Because what I see what happens is people go, I'm speaking my truth and I'm out of here. And instead of realizing that they're part of the situation, it's always a two-way street when you have, conflict or whatever. And to just walk away and blame the others, you're not taking responsibility.
Exactly.
For exactly. Your part in it too. So stating that, like, I am taking this on. I am making this change for myself. This is, you know, it shifts it from, I'm leaving here because I don't like what you guys did. I don't believe in it, you know. So it's reframing things in a like you say, the truth.
Right. So that then, and there's where the power is, because truth and love are the same thing in many ways, that higher truth. And so one of the principles that she encourages us to be aware of is what we are experiencing is a function of what we've been thinking and what we've been saying. And if we want the experience to change, we have to change what we're thinking and saying first.
Yes, it starts with us first. Well, this is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Ruth Miller.
And each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams. Or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia, call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Gratitude, asks Sacred Space. Tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which embraces each atom of your universe. I am that which makes your environment vibrate with very high frequency. I am that which attracts towards you all the hearts that you shelter. Wouldn't it be wonderful to allow yourself to bathe in the energy of your own sacred space every single day? Learn how to create your inner sacred space using our Essence of Gratitude Trio, which includes the Gratitude in Action, Actions of Gratitude book, our Essence of Gratitude journal, and our Bungee bookmark, all which emanate powerful vibrations that transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of God, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and the song you heard, Women of Wisdom, is from our CD, which you can purchase at our Women of Wisdom website, www.womenofwisdom.org. And it's a great album of songs from amazing women singers, Holly Near, Rihanna, and Libby Roderick, and very inspirational CDs. So I encourage you to purchase the CD. You can only get it on our website. So Ruth, can you give your contact information where people can find you and purchase your books? And you've edited a lot of books and written some as well.
Okay. So the Library of Hidden Knowledge, this series of 19th and early 20th century writers, is thelibraryofhiddenknowledge.com. And my personal website is either Rev. Ruth L. Miller or rlmillerphd.com. It's the same site, rlmillerphd.com. And the books, of course, are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the usual. I also work with some other publishers on some other books, and you can find out about those on my website. Most of my books have to do with the metaphysics, but there are some that have to do with, you know, a long-term look at, among other things, feminine spirituality. I wrote a book a couple years ago called Mary's Power, which was looking at how feminine spirituality got buried in the patriarchy of the previous 6,000 years, and how that process is over. Interestingly, in direct, it's just completing, it's coming to an end at the time of the Mayan Great Cycle coming to an end. So we are, what I'm calling the age of invasion and empire is dying, and women's spirituality is reemerging.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very aware of that with my work with Women of Wisdom, and it's exciting. I mean, we're in for an exciting time, for sure. And sometimes with the dying of an age, there's a lot of, what's the word?
Thrashing about.
Yes. And fear that those who have been in power are going to lose power. And that's not what it's about. It's for all of us to have the power. And so we're witnessing a lot of fear tactics, a lot of, like you said, thrashing about. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of women stepping up into leadership positions. And I think, and my hope is more and more so, because it's so needed.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been very impressed with the number of women speaking in both of the conventions this year. It's very fun. I remember when only one woman spoke in a convention. Yes.
Yeah, and you still see, though, fewer women on the podium than in some places. And, you know, I think women have to get over our fear of speaking, and that we don't have anything to say, I think, is part of the problem. We think we don't have anything important to say, but all of us have our story.
Yes, and the story is where we have to start, isn't it? Whether it's ours,
yes,
or someone else. You know, and that fear thing is a huge part of what Shin was about. You know, she talked her very first story in her book and in our version of it is, I know of a man who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get, but he pictured it continually and read about it until he manifested in his body, and he died a victim of his own distorted imagination. You know, and that, yeah, when fear becomes worry, becomes obsession, the body takes it on. And so we have to move beyond that fear to begin to come into something else. And one of my concerns about this last several years, actually a couple of decades, has been our culture has shifted from focusing on our hope and our potential to focusing on the things to be afraid of. And our kids are really struggling for that. She says that fear is the only block. The only block. Isn't that beautiful? The only block to all that is good. One of her stories is, a very brilliant man who has attained great success told me he had suddenly erased all fear from his consciousness by reading a sign that hung in a room he was visiting. He saw, printed in large letters, "Why worry? It will probably never happen."
Yeah. And if you do worry, it'll probably happen.
Exactly. And another one, you know, that she deals with is money. She says, a woman came to me in great distress and said she was going to be sued on the 15th of the month for $3,000. This is 1920, $3,000. Can you imagine it? She knew of no way to get the money and was in despair. I told her God, the source of all that is, was her supply. And there is a supply for every demand. So to shift from thinking that a person or a company or a job is our supply is part of what Shin's about. She goes on, so I spoke the word. I gave thanks that the woman would receive $3,000 in the right time and the right way. I told her that she must have perfect faith and act her perfect faith. The story goes on, the 15th came, but no money had materialized. She called me on the phone, asked me what to do. This is 1912 or 1920. And I replied, it is Saturday, so they won't sue you today. Your part is to act rich, thereby showing perfect faith that you will receive it by Monday. She asked me to lunch with her to keep up her courage. When I joined her at the restaurant, I said, this is no time to economize. Order an expensive luncheon and act as if you'd already received the $3,000. Now, they didn't have credit cards then, so she had to order something she had money for. The next morning, she called me on the phone and asked me to stay with her during the day. I said, no, you are divinely protected. Infinite intelligence is never too late. That evening, she phoned again, greatly excited, and said, my dear, a miracle has happened. I was sitting in my room this morning when the doorbell rang. I said to the maid, don't let anyone in. The maid, however, looked out the window and said, it's your cousin with the long white beard. I said, call him back. I'd like to see him. He was just turning the corner when he heard the maid's voice, and he came back. We talked for about an hour, and just as he was leaving, he said, oh, by the way, how are finances? I told him I needed money, and he said, why, my dear, I'll give you $3,000 the first of the month. I didn't want to tell him I was going to be sued. What shall I do? I won't receive it till the first of the month, and I must have it tomorrow. I said, I'll keep on treating. Spirit is never too late. I gave thanks that she had received the money on the invisible plane and that it manifested on time. The next morning, Monday, the first day of business after the 15th, her cousin called her up and said, come to my office this morning and I'll give you the money. That afternoon, she had the $3,000. She points out, Shin goes on to say, our word never comes back unfulfilled, and we want to ask believing. That story of the woman who needed a certain amount of money at a certain time because of a business problem really has transformed many, many, many people's lives to realize that we're accustomed to going into fear and concern, and Shin is saying, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Go with a deeper knowing. Go with the truth. The truth is, and one of Shin's principles and Katie's and Hopkins' principles is, you can't desire it if it doesn't already exist. Your desire is simply calling it forth into manifestation, into your experience. So Shin is trying to encourage us to know the truth in the face of our concerns. She calls our tormenting thoughts armies of demons. And she has another story about a woman who was afraid to walk under ladders, and she was afraid to go to her bank one day because there was a ladder there. And she remembered, oh, yes, if I face my fears, and she turned around to go into the bank where that ladder had been preventing her from going in, and the ladder wasn't there anymore. And that's another example of how when we are willing to go in the truth of we are safe, we are free, we have everything we need, our fears can be dissolved.
I think there is something to that of knowing that we have what we need. It's not about what we want. It's knowing what's really needed, I think.
Right. Infinite spirit is never too late. So if there, you know, and there's a difference between our heart's desires and our casual desires. Mm-hmm. Our heart's desires are in alignment with our life purpose. They're unfolding for our greatest good, for our greatest joy, for the good of all humanity as our good. You know, what's truly best for any one of us is best for all of us. Whereas our momentary desire, gee, that sparkles, gee, that's pretty, gee, I'd like to have that, are not necessarily the things that are in our best good and best, you know, to our best service.
Well, I know there's that saying, praying you have some need or praying for this, but there's all this tagline saying this or something better. Because sometimes we limit ourselves when we ask for X amount or X something that we want in our life, when reality would be much, much bigger if we expanded thought of ourselves in our full expansive selves, what we could really draw.
Exactly. And one of the things that Shin points out over and over again is, in fact, there's a little story she talks about, you know, someone who asked for $600 and could have had a lot more, but it focused so much on the 600 that they didn't get the more. They got the 600.
Mm-hmm.
And who is that? There's another story out there about the $25,000 salesman. You know, he always earned $25,000, whether he was in a $12,000 district or a $50,000 district.
Yeah, and it's that's limited thinking, that thinking that we don't deserve more too. Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. We are going to come back shortly and continue talking with Ruth Miller. Stay tuned.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're talking with Ruth Miller. She has edited the new book of life, the new game of life and how to play it book. And so we've been talking about that and also lots of things about the power of words, how our spoken words impact our life. And perhaps you'd like to go more into that because, you know, what we say really has a lot of impact on what happens to us when we put those words out there.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I get to do with these books is talk about the scientific theories and experiments that supports them. And there's more and more evidence that we are not so much physical bodies, material bodies made of matter, but energy fields. And the energy fields are shaped by vibration, frequencies, modulated frequencies. And those frequencies are a function of our feelings and the words that we use. And the words are not just the words, they're the symbols behind the words. So one of my favorite stories is the woman who kept saying, I need a break, and slipped and broke her leg. That concept of the symbol behind the word is something we often forget when we're talking. So even if it's a more abstract word, sometimes we have a symbol attached to it. And then what we've done is we've literally programmed the subconscious, the part of us that runs our lives, that makes our bodies function, that helps us perceive what we're going to see in the world, that determines what we are able to take in and receive. That part of us gets programmed by the words we are using. So we really, as I said earlier, really need to discipline ourselves in terms of the thoughts we think and the words we use. It's a great game in my classes. I believe that the words should, ought, must, gotta, and have to are toxic. And so when people find themselves saying, well, I should, da-da-da-da, everyone in the class will go, wait a minute, do you really want to affirm that, So ideally, we would is a nice alternative to should. Because when the body hears should, the body goes into stress. When the body hears, gotta, or I have to, or I must, it goes into stress. Whereas if I say, I'd really enjoy, or it would be a wonderful opportunity if, or ideally this could happen, then that stress is not there. So literally those words, turn on the stress system in the body. But at another level, the symbol can tell the body to do something we had no intention of doing, as in the person who wanted a break and ended up with a broken leg. So lots of interesting things happen with our words.
Yeah, and you're correct in saying it's discipline, because we do it so often and it's even unconscious. And, it might be good to have friends that tell us, oh, you said the should word again, just to remind ourselves because it's putting our intention out there and to realize, the power of words. I don't think people realize necessarily the true power of words and the intention that goes behind them and what you're putting into, action and you're going where your thought goes, that's where energy goes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a Yeah, a phrase that I learned about 20 years ago, and I very much appreciate the high school counselor who shared it with me. She says, "Are you sure you want to should on yourself like that?"
Mm-hmm. Well, we do it so often. And then again, the other principle of love, how can we use that effectively in our lives?
Mm-hmm. One of the stories that Shin tells in this book is of a woman who was very upset because her husband, or the man she wanted to marry, was not behaving the way she wanted him to behave. And she started getting all upset at him and angry and whatever. And she came into Florence Shin for treatment to change him. And Florence said, "No, I won't change him, but perhaps we can change you because you are not experiencing unconditional love." And so they worked several weeks, in fact, several months, on, you know, getting her to the point where she could be not angry at this man for being and doing something other than what she wanted. And finally, one day, she was able to say, "God bless him wherever he is," and mean it and feel it. And within a week, he had shown up in her life, and they ended up having a weekend together, and 2 weeks later they were married, and everything was a totally different kind of experience because she wasn't laying her conditions on him. She was loving him unconditionally and loving herself in the process, and that's the piece that we talked about earlier that most women forget in our culture. You know, it's not good for everyone else if it's not good for me. If it is truly good for me, it's got to be good for everyone else. And that was a difficult lesson for me to learn. I had to be flat on my back for the better part of a year to get that one, that I had to take care of me first and take care, and love me in order to love my kids and to love my work. And once I began to do that, then all of a sudden I had a lot more energy to do a lot more things.
Oh, that's true. And that's really the basis of what life should be about. If you can't love yourself, who can you love?
Right on. And again, love is not about, you know, nicey-nicey romance or any of that. Love is this deep quality of caring and appreciation and, you know, seeing the best in and seeing the best for and caring about, you know, the specific words that are being used. You know, isn't it interesting how most often the worst words that we ever use are the ones that we say we love the most, are to the ones we say we love the most? You know, it's just really a sad thing that we do that. We need to stop. We just need to start being all the things we wish we could see more of in the world.
Yes, it starts with us. And I think part of this, I'm looking at some information, and part of this is forgiveness playing in this role, forgiving ourselves for what we have done, what we think we've done, what we've caused, you know, that we think we have to forgive others. You know, we get angry at others and we have a hard time forgiving, but I think it really stands with, if we can forgive ourselves first, it's probably be easier to forgive others.
I think it's a bit of both. You know, if I can get to the point where I feel that ultimately all that's left is the love between us, and that involves mm-hmm. forgiving them and me, I've written a process that's in a book called Calm Healing, but it's also on my website at rlmillerphd.com called Releasing the Past, which hundreds of people have found very useful to help them get to that place of releasing and being done with and not carrying forward into the future those experiences that have not been enjoyable in the past.
Well, I like that, releasing. Great. Well, it's been great to talk to you today, Ruth.
It's been a delight. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I want everybody to check out The New Game of Life and How to Play It. Visit Ruth's website. There's www.libraryofhiddenknowledge.com and also revruthlmiller.com. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today, to spend some time this weekend contemplating how you're playing the game of life and what you'd like to change in your life, knowing all is available for you in this amazing world. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm glad you spent the hour with me this week. I want everybody to know they can sign up for the Woman of Wisdom newsletter, find out what Woman of Wisdom is doing and what our conference, we'll be making conference announcements. Right now, conference, workshop, proposals are closed, but we also have a goddess market and we have vendors, and that application process is happening, and the deadline is October 15th. And I am this week, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet, but I was away. Next week I'll be launching my new website, chrysalisleadership.com, and that's Chrysalis with a K, K-R-Y. And you can reach me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at chrysalisleadership.com. And I'd love to hear from you. If you have any ideas of what you'd like to have on the show, or a speaker, or if you're an author and would like to be on the show, contact me, Chris at chrysalisleadership.com. So everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck! Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy-free!